Welcome to the Carver Board of Aldermen, regular Tuesday night meeting. And we have some visitors. Mr. Manager, if you had special visitors.
I thought they were going to be here right at 7:30, so maybe you want to recognize the folks from the floor, and then Matt's on his way to check on them.
Sure, we have two folks from the floor. Tom Henry.
Where should I speak from?
Come on up.
Thank you all. My name is Tom Henry. I've been living in Carver now for almost six years. I live on Mulberry Street, which is off of Pleasant Drive, which is right at that big bend in North Greensboro. And I'm here tonight to address you all about pedestrian safety issues, which have been a longstanding concern with me and my wife since we moved here. But I never really felt the impetus to come actually address the board until now, and I appreciate y'all taking some time to listen to me. The most immediate cause of me being here was a phone call to the mayor, actually, of several weeks ago, which was because a police officer advised that we complain to the board about the lack of enforcement on crosswalks, with pedestrians in crosswalks. What happened was my wife was crossing North Greensboro, and she had difficulty crossing, and the cars were not respecting her in the crosswalk. She actually had the signal, too, and cars were turning. They had the green light to turn, but, of course, you have to yield to pedestrians in the crosswalk. And she happened to notice a police officer parked in the little Weaver Street driveway between Panzanella and Weaver Street. She went over to the police officer and just said, I don't know if you just saw what happened, but I couldn't cross the street. Cars were just turning straight in front of me. And she had our young son in the stroller with her. And the police officer said, well, we hear your concerns all the time, but we don't really do much on pedestrian safety because if we enforce the laws, we get complaints from the people we've enforced the laws against. And then the police, it's not looked favorably upon, or it's not a priority for the police department. And the police officer advised her. He said, take your complaints to the board. So what I did the next morning, because these concerns have been mounting for 6 years, I picked up the phone and called Mayor Chilton, who I had known from very early on because he helped me buy my house when I moved to Carver. So I called Mayor Chilton, and he listened to me, and he said, well, please come to a board meeting and share your concerns with the board. And generally what my concerns are is that it's very hard to cross the crosswalks, especially along North Greensboro, and those are the crosswalks that I'm most familiar with. I probably log more pedestrian miles in Carver than actual vehicle miles, because I commute to Raleigh, but within Carborough, I walk a dog several times daily. I do most of my shopping on foot, going to parks on foot. So I log a lot of pedestrian miles, so I think I have a good perspective on this. And it's very, very difficult to cross a crosswalk on North Greensboro. The crosswalks that have the paddles that come up out of the middle of the road, not just crosswalks on North Greensboro, but actually crosswalks in general in Carver. The crosswalks that have the paddles that come up out of the center of the road tend to be safer. Crosswalks that have walk signals, lighted walk signals, tend to be safer. But the ones that lack those signals or the paddles that come out of the middle of the road are very difficult to cross. And this has been a more personal and more of greater concern to my wife and I since we've had a young son. And now that we're no longer, usually if we're toting him around town, either in a backpack or in a stroller, and we can no longer just sprint across the street. It actually takes some time to cross the street, and especially at the morning rush hour, the evening rush hour, you need more than 5 seconds to cross the street. It's very difficult. I don't know what the percentage is, but it's a minority of cars that actually will stop for a pedestrian in a crosswalk that doesn't have a lighted signal or a paddle. Typically, the way I succeed in crossing the street is by throwing my body, lunging into the crosswalk and, you know, waving my arms and notifying the cars that I'm crossing the street. And even that sometimes doesn't work. I've had cars actually speed up and try to beat me through the crosswalk. and I've grown tired of risking life and limb crossing the streets. I've never, ever seen a car, I've never seen a police officer pull over a vehicle for violating the crosswalk laws. And what I've come here to do tonight is just put the issue before you and let you know that it's very important concern, it's of special concern to my family and other families that we're friends with in Carrboro. Unfortunately, we had invited other people to come tonight, but they've been unable to attend. I would just like to relate one anecdote, though, of a family we know who lives in the Twin Magnolias townhouse complex, and a father and his young son were crossing one of the crosswalks by the Century Center, and he had the walk signal, he had the right of way regardless. I don't know if it was a lighted walk signal, but there was actually contact between a vehicle and his son in the stroller. Thankfully, everybody was okay. I think that the speed upon impact was slow enough that everybody was okay, but there was contact between the vehicle and the stroller that had the child in it. And that was, I think, about a month or two ago. And when I heard that, that was very difficult to swallow, and to know that that's happening in the town here just sort of reinforced the concerns that I have and that I've been frustrated about for the last 6 years. So what Mayor Chilton told me was that, to a certain extent, the town's hands are tied because the right-of-ways are owned by the DOT, and you need special permission if you want to do anything on the DOT right-of-way. But I would just urge the board to do whatever you can do. Work with DOT, try to get permission to put more paddles in the roads, work with the police department to ramp up enforcement, to actually hand out tickets when people are violating the crosswalk laws. Do targeted enforcement. I see very little speed enforcement, too, on North Greensboro, even in the 20-mile-an-hour zones where, most cars are doing, 30, which is, 50% above the speed limit. It's like, that's a pretty high percentage over the speed limit. So those are my two main suggestions, that we work with DOT to put the infrastructure in place that helps improve pedestrian safety, and that we also work with our police department to put this on their priority list for enforcement. So thank you very much. I know, sorry.
No.
I'm happy to take your question or any other questions.
Well, I just want to say that I'm very, very sorry that the police officer responded that way. That was completely inappropriate. And if you could have seen our town manager's face as you were describing it, you would know that he also finds it very inappropriate. It is their job to enforce that. I once almost got hit in, I walk everywhere too, in one of the ones down by the Century Center. There was an officer and they just went, and I didn't say anything about it because I think we need to reinforce that's, and the speed thing, you're right there too, pulling people over for speeding. But I think one thing that we can do, and I thank you for bringing it to our attention, Mark's right, is, the board could ask staff and the mayor to put this on the agenda for a more in-depth conversation, and to ask the police chief to come in and talk with her, too, about the enforcement issues. Yeah.
Yeah, Steve, I know that Chief met with TAB last year at some point to discuss these issues, and I also know that TAB has been doing a study including videotaping of the pedestrian safety concerns on North Greensboro, and maybe it would be timely for us to get a report on both of those tracks and kind of see where all that's coming together, both in terms of enforcement and in terms of improving pedestrian safety, because I know what TAB is looking at, this is our Transportation Advisory Board, is really where we need, where the best sites are for the crosswalks on North Greensboro, and if there are improvements that we could try and get DOT to make and how those are marked to improve safety and to create opportunities for crossing where people actually are trying to cross. So that all would be good to know.
One last point that I wanted to mention I neglected in my comments was that it's not just limited to private vehicles, this problem that I've noticed. It's the public vehicles, like
buses,
but school buses and municipal buses, emergency vehicles that aren't in an emergency situation, like ambulances, cop car, police cars, fire trucks, or EMS, car sanitation trucks, public works trucks, postal trucks. It's a whole slew of public vehicles too that aren't that should know better but don't that aren't respecting the crosswalk law. So
I just wanted to echo Dan pointing out that the DAB has been looking at it, and I think they're planning to meet with someone from the DOT. The TAB's actually taken footage of that area to share with the DOT the concerns that or have already been registered. So hopefully we'll be able to.
I'm glad that I just wanted to put a little momentum behind the issue tonight, and also to, you know, if there's anything that I as a citizen could do to, you know, help move it forward or keep it on the front burner, so to speak, I'd be happy to do so. Please just let me know. And I know I took more time than I was supposed to, but I appreciate it. Well,
thank you, Tom.
Very important.
It's really important. I'm sorry for your difficulty with that. And Virginia Kidry.
Hi, I'm Virginia Guidry. I live on Pleasant Drive, 103A, and I'm actually here to speak on the same topic as Tom, so I'll be very brief because he covered many of my concerns. But I just wanted to highlight that as another perspective, it does seem to be a contradiction to me that Carrboro promotes itself as pedestrian-friendly, and yet the crosswalk laws are not enforced. I would like to highlight the crosswalk at Shelton and Greensboro Street as one where just come out on a Saturday where there's a lot of pedestrians and a lot of car traffic, and it won't take you long before you see an angry exchange between a pedestrian trying to cross and a car, you know, a driver that will yell back at the pedestrian. I mean, so it's partly a safety issue. It's partly just a contention point in the town that I think needs to be addressed more clearly so that the public knows what the expectations are at the crosswalks. And I would say that in downtown, they do seem to be pretty well observed, but when you start to get the outskirts, and you know that crosswalk at Shelton and Greensboro isn't far outside of downtown, but already there cars are picking up speed and they're happy to just go right through it. So otherwise, I know you've already mentioned some of the actions from the TAB and others, so I'll just leave my comments there. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. So Dan, you want to make a motion to have staff look into that formally? Or?
Yeah. Basically, that we've got to report back on the status of TAB activities and enforcement of pedestrian safety by the police department.
Second.
All right. So the motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Okay. Matter carries. All right. Mr. Manager.
Let me recognize Wendell Rogers from our Rec and Parks Department. Wendell, if you want to come up and just. Do you have any of your students with you? Just go. Yes.
Good evening.
Good evening. Hi.
Tonight we are having our 10th Town Hall Day for Teens event, and we have a group of students here tonight that are participating in the event, and just glad to have them there over there in the audience, and just wanted to let you all know that the event is still alive and we're just glad to have it.
Great.
Thanks.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for your interest. All right. Consent agenda.
Okay. Item one is approval of the minutes of the previous meetings of January 19th, 26th, and February 9th. Item two is a request to set a special meeting of the Board of Aldermen for the 2010 planning retreat. Item three is a resolution giving staff direction on the 2010 legislative breakfast. Item four is a request to set a public hearing on an ordinance amending the Carrboro Land Use Ordinance provisions related to natural constraints mapping for determining open space requirements and other miscellaneous procedural requirements. Item five is a town code amendment related to parking along Roberson Street.
I actually had a question about, two questions about number four. On attachment A, number four, there's a list of advisory boards, and I think greenways should be added.
Can you talk about that a little bit more? Why?
Well, because it's determining open space requirements, and I think that that's something that impacts potential greenways.
Could you repeat it? I guess my assumption is, and I'll kind of ask a question as a follow-up, won't they be mapped if they are? Maybe not.
I don't know.
Let's see.
Won't they be mapped?
Yeah. I mean, because we have sort of a greenway plan, so wouldn't that sort of...
Yes, we do have. I mean, they are. Greenways per se aren't natural constraints for the purposes of mapping open space. They don't, I mean, in this particular process, but in the open space article, there is a recognition of greenway locations for the purposes of connectivity and between properties and so forth. But I did want to point out that none of the boxes we didn't check, we didn't pick any of the boxes.
Right.
I mean, so if you all want to pick any of these boxes and refer either of the two ordinances to them, you would need to do that. But the only board that this is referring these ordinances to is the planning board as it's drafted right now.
I had a question on the deletion of E. What's the reason for that?
The deletion of E?
Yeah.
Where are you looking?
I'm looking at, it says, Section 15.19A is amended by revising subsection B5 by deleting subdivision E and replacing...
I can get my ordinance and I can put it up here and show you.
Thank you. Okay. Trish, I could hold off on this question.
Okay.
Dan's pointing out that this isn't the right time to ask it.
That's fine, whichever you'd like.
Thanks.
I can explain it. So, next time.
And I had one other question on attachment C. Section 2, number 3, where and is struck and or is and is struck, and I wanted to know why and was struck right there. So,
well, and I kind of had the same question where I'm assuming there's some reason that this is being revised, but basically it seems like they're all becoming ors instead of and for the whole thing.
The reason was the intent of the section was to say that one could add conditions in order to ensure that any of these criteria are satisfied. I mean, the conditions couldn't relate to any of them. In the recent litigation that we had involving the Barn Street project, there was a contention. Remember, the contention was over the condition. One of the arguments that was made was that since the language here was and, that in order to impose a condition, the condition had to be satisfying all four of these requirements as opposed to any of them. So actually, the court never had to decide that because of the way that it resolved the case, but I just wanted to make it clear that this was intended to be in the disjunctive rather than in the conjunctive.
And that's, in fact, the way we've been doing it.
That's exactly how we've been doing it for only 30-some-odd years, but one never knows what arguments are going to be made. So that's the reason for it, is just to remove that as any kind of future argument.
Okay. comfortable with that. I'm also comfortable if the other, if only planning board is reviewing, then I'm comfortable with these, so.
Move the items.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? None. Carries.
Okay. The next item is a request for board approval of a banking services contract. On November 17th, the board approved a request for proposal to solicit banking services. Staff has conducted the banking services RFP and is prepared to offer the board a bank for consideration for banking services. We request you all weigh the information and direct staff to move forward with a banking services contract with Harrington Bank or another bank that the board might designate.
Yeah, and as Mayor Chilton, he emailed us and he had asked us to hold on that until he's present, so I'd like to
do that.
Yeah, if we could would make a motion to postpone.
I'll move that we postpone until Mark can be here.
Assuming the mayor's back next week, I know next week is normally public hearings only. We have four public hearings, so I think most of them should be, hesitate to say this, but I think fairly straightforward. You never know. But because we just canceled the March 2nd meeting, the next meeting wouldn't be until March 9th. Are you all okay if we brought this back next week? Because assuming we make a change from our current service provider, there, you know, it may take several months of transition time. The sooner we get started, the better for everybody, I think.
I think it's best that we're all here.
Yeah, me too.
Here.
All right.
Don't anybody get sick between now.
Okay.
I'm trying to stay healthy. I'm washing my hands.
So we need to, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I guess okay. I just have a question that I want to see if anyone wants to talk about this or not, which is, you know, we have this matter before us, but we've never really talked about, as a board, what our criteria is for selecting a bank. And so we've had various emails going back and forth with bits of information about the different banks that are under consideration. And so, you know, my question is whether folks think it would be worthwhile to try and talk about criteria independent of particular banks, or if we should just plan next week to dive in. And, you know, we know what the banks are.
Let's talk about it in 2 weeks and dive in. I really don't want to create a matrix for it.
No, why don't you want to create a matrix?
Because it's not the way I think.
I know that, but as you know, not everybody's twins, so.
Yeah, no.
Some people like matrix.
Right, but I don't want one.
Well, if there's not a matrix, there has to be some standard.
But then you can make a matrix.
But no, seriously, though, there has to be a standard that the public can look at and say.
Definitely.
But they have to be enunciated.
The manager has it.
Yeah, just a matter of clarification, you all are certainly free to do whatever you'd like in terms of how you select the bank, but just be reminded that the RFP that you all approved did have selection criteria, and that's what we followed in bringing the recommendation to you. So
it's not willy-nilly.
You can choose to do whatever you want, but
it's been filtered.
The banks that responded based on what they anticipated the criteria that they were judged on.
Can you put the RFP in our packet for next week so we can review that again?
Good idea.
That, I think, that'll be sufficient.
Yeah. Great question.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, go ahead.
Steve, I can't recall if our RFPs all have the anti-discrimination clauses in them yet or not. So I guess when we see that, we'll see if it was in there.
I don't recall any. Okay.
And I know we had a few guests here, so if you come back in 2 weeks, it would be.
In 1 week.
I think it's in 1 week.
It's 1 week, that's right.
It's next week.
Yeah, Dan had said 2 weeks.
No, I didn't say 2 weeks.
Well, we heard.
Somebody said, did you say
Jackie said
it's next week.
Yeah, that's right. Yes,
if I had been using a matrix, I would have gotten it right. Yeah.
a list.
It's February 23rd.
Well, we do have the RFP.
Yes.
All right.
Move to a chart.
Wait, I have one quick question.
Other matters.
One of our, we had a memo from
manager and had dealt with this ethics training issue. And my question is, if we were to get this live broadcast webinar, I know I'm not available that day, but does it say that if we did get that, then we'd be able to show it at a later time? Is it sure we could do it on demand?
And Dan had asked a question about it. I think once we ordered, where's Matt? I think we have 30 days that we can like view at any time, so it's possible we could schedule it sometime between now and the end of the calendar year for a work session if everybody wanted to do it at one time. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. After the date of the live broadcast, we'll be able to purchase a code from UNC. That code can be used at any location at any time for the next 30 days after that.
So sometimes 30 days.
In one location. Right.
After March.
No, it can be used at any location.
Oh, it can?
And for an unlimited amount of time.
So after March 25th, we'd have 30 days to do it.
Yes, and at that point, the board could do it individually or collectively.
So we could each do it at our convenience, basically. So we wouldn't need to take meeting time.
That's different.
Yeah, that's a clarification from yesterday.
Well, so for $95, we could distribute it to board members.
Yes. Go for it.
Okay. Well, that might be, we'll do it however you all want, but that might be more convenient for you all to do it at your own pace. And
I think so. Like it would be.
Very good. Any other matters by members?
Nope.
Okay. So, move to adjourn. I can't make a move.
You can't?
No.
I'll move to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks, Randy.
Thank you.
Good job.
Yeah.